Harness Racing, Victoria Wide. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
And on this wintry Saturday, g'day from JT. Welcome to Talking Trots. Let's bring in the Good Form team. They'll talk about Cranbourne a little later on in the program, but firstly we're going to talk about the week that was in Trots. Jason Bonington, Blake Redden. G'day, lads.
Hello, JT. Very exciting time of the year, of course, with the Inter-Dominions on, but I just want to make sure everybody's safe out there with the 100-year point break type storm that's been going on around the place. So we're safe, Baker. But,
text in and tell us if you're safe, are you asking?
Yeah, we just keep our fingers crossed for everybody who are in low-lying positions in the state and those who've been most affected by the storm.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what happens at Cranbourne tonight if we go ahead, but we'll know in a few hours, I guess. But no, it's been a very wet and wintry day or so, John, and it looks like it's going to continue.
All right, let's talk about the week that was. What has been happening in the world of trots, gentlemen?
Well, John of Arc was probably the one thing that we learnt from Melton last weekend. He's a Perth horse.
A bit of a biblical type water,
yes,
storm type theme there with the Arc.
John, John's a name from the Bible, is it not?
Matthew, he's the fourth of the Gospels, as a
there
matter
you
of
go.
Fact. There's been a lot of biblical talk of recent times with Lazarus going so well across Nullarbor, but anyway, continue on.
Yeah, well, it's just it's a bit ironic, I guess, in many ways. He's a Perth horse that's come to Victoria and knocking off our free-for-alls while the Inters are on. So, look, he was big odds, massive odds on the weekend, but I think we all know he has that sort of ability. It's just a matter of getting it out of him, and that was what happened on the weekend. It was a good win, a strong win, but it's probably the second time in about 3 weeks, Bond, that a free-for-all has been run, and there's been about 5 metres covering the field. I'm not sure what that tells us about the form and how strong it may be going forward, but small fields, maybe herd pack mentality sort of thing, maybe that's why, but interesting that they've been so tight and friendly late.
Well, on face value, there's just not a hell of a lot between them, given, you know, fortune in running is playing a significant role in these races at the moment. I think it's fair to say, even though the times would suggest that TCB McRae is still going exceptionally well, he hasn't replicated in his last couple of starts what we saw in the Arrow Valley Cup behind Lenny the Shark and Myfield Marshall. Mazzini was cast into a different role, first time in a long time they decided to use him off the arm. He went well. I still think he's going significantly better when he's driven off the speed, but when you're in 1,720-metre races with a good draw, the temptation to press the button is obviously there. And as you mentioned, a little bit of a horse swap situation. So we've got several very good Eastern Seaboard horses over there in Perth at the moment, and a former Perth pacer, as you mentioned, John of Arc, getting the job done in the free-for-all. I've got to pay some homage to Rob Orber on course. He was doing the on-course duties. I was at Tabcorp Park Mountain for that race, and he said to me earlier in the night, I only want to have one bet all night. I never got to the bottom of why he wanted to back John of Arc, but he did say, I think John of Arc will really run a race tonight, and it was a superb win coming from, I'm not going to say quarterback Chautauqua type stuff, but coming behind,
yeah,
coming from behind TCB.
He let TCB go, yeah.
And running past him was a really big performance. So now he's got some fitness into his legs. I don't think that's probably the end for John of Arc, and it just tells you, don't let those Perth paces slip under the guard when they're here in Victoria. Our Jericho goes around in the Stall Cup, if in fact it goes ahead tomorrow. Western District's one of the hardest areas in Victoria hit by the storm. But you don't want to let these very high-quality Perth paces go around at a big price in Victoria, JT, because they'll burn you.
All right, we'll take a close look at John of Arc as he continues his Eastern Seaboard prep. All right, I hear there may be a new chairman at HRA in the not-too-distant future. Is that intel correct, gentlemen?
Well, it's probably a bit of speculation at this point, but we did see an article yesterday suggesting that Michael Taranto would be getting the top gong at HRA as the chairman, and I guess we're all expecting that that's probably going to play out the way the article read. So it's a really important position, I'd say, Bon. It's one that, you know, does have a lot of power if you're able to pull all the states together and to sort of make things, make change. And I think particularly over the next 2 or 3 years with the Inter-Dominion moving around and a few different things happening, it could become a really important role to sort of bring the code together as a whole and try and get things done. That will, of course, require buy-in from all of the different states, but hopefully Michael Taranto is the man that can get it done.
To my understanding, they'll have their annual general meeting, their AGM, over there in Perth, as they did last year during the Inter-Dominion Series. I think maybe the day after the final, and everything will be ratified there. You would have thought, we are hearing very strong intel, reconnaissance, that Michael Taranto will get the job. And I think what that means, potentially, we know Mick's a really huge advocate for the Square Gaiters.
Yep.
He wants to internationalise the product. It's been a passion of his for a really long period of time. He's a man who's been around for a long time, knows the sport inside out, and feels very, very strongly that if we're to grow and thrive, that the Square Gators are going to have to be front and square if we do that. And so I'd be expecting he'll be pushing a pretty strong agenda down that line. And it'll be good for Harness Racing Australia to turn the page over, really, because it's been a slightly controversial last 12 months. We remember it was almost 12 months ago to the day that there was an announcement that we'd have the whips removed from harness racing. Heavy resistance against that decision has proven fruitful for the resistance, so to speak, and they've won the day, at least for now, and the whips continue. But Mick Taranto, he'll bring a lot of ideas to the table, but as I say, a lot of them will be strongly focused, I would have thought, on the square of gate.
And just on that, Tasmania is probably the final frontier in many ways, and they will be implementing those trotters races, I think it's mid-next year. So that's sort of, you know, trending in that direction. I know New South Wales have limited number of trotting races, but maybe this is something that will push them towards having more.
And that's a drought of, what, 90 years over in the Apple Isle?
It's been a long time since they've had square gating races.
Did
there,
Melbourne
John?
Win the flag in 27? Maybe that's what we need, gentlemen.
They had a pretty good run back then, didn't they? The D's with not many teams in the competition.
Was that the fourth? What was the 4 year streak?
Was it 27 to 31?
No, that's Collingwood. 55, 56, 57.
That's right. Because the only team that's won four in a row is Collingwood. Isn't
correct.
It? Yeah, that's right.
That's the angle he was playing there, JT.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, as Ray Chamberlain says, play on. ID17 is certainly warming up. Barrier draw next week. Looking
it's tomorrow, in fact, John.
Tomorrow, is it?
Yep. Of course, we had the final round of heats last night. We've had so many sort of, I guess, intricacies to this series. Things have happened that we weren't expecting. Horses going really well. Soho Tribeca's obviously stepped up. And I think, most importantly, on Tuesday night at Bunbury, we'll talk about a little bit, Bon. Tiger Tara was so impressive there. I think Lazarus was almost as impressive sitting parked outside him. They ran a blistering track record. It was a great night of racing. The coverage was terrific for the night. So it was a great night. And, all going towards the final, it looks like it's going to be a real serious showdown.
Well, I think the take-home messages so far in the series is we get to take a breather now and wait for the following 7 days before
it's all about
six
tomorrow.
Days.
It's all the barrier draw.
Well, the barrier draw is, unbelievably crucial, so much more crucial than in any other jurisdiction of Australia or New Zealand because of the Gloucester Park track. But the story has been the hometown heroes, they were pumped up, they were built up, they have lived up to expectations. They've had a few favours, it has to be said, through the course of the series, Chicago Bull and Soho Tribeca, but they've lived up to all expectations. Lenny gets his chance to potentially come off the canvas, and of course Lazarus, who we thought would go over there, and there was that thing, is he an invincible horse? Well, he's not invincible, but come next Friday night, he may well be invincible. So really, from a narrative point of view, there's a number of different streams there, JT, and it's really lived up to all expectations. And from a selfish perspective, I love that this has been such a great final into Dominion in Perth, because it gives us the launching pad for Melbourne next year.
Absolutely.
Talking Trot's Run of the Week.
All right, the 3-2-1, gentlemen.
Well, I'm going to cover three this week, John, but Bon's going to cover one and two, so you take it away, Bon.
Yeah, well, this is topical cruising around because he goes around at Cranbourne this evening, hopefully, if they're not underwater and cruising around. There's a little bit of a nautical theme there, you would have thought, the cruise, but yep. I went out and visited this horse a week and a half ago. Gee, he's a beautiful animal. He's a striking beast, multiple Group 1 winner.
Tell us why he was run of the week.
Returned to racing last Saturday night. I'm just giving you a bit of background about the horse. And he broke stride early on. I didn't happen to hear your review on Monday. I'm sure it was exhaustive, Baker. Yeah. But he got back to four poles when he should have been in a much better spot and finished off really, really well in a nice quality race. I think he'll be bouncing back into the winner's list tonight. And from there onward and upward, we've spoken a number of times, Baker, about that merry-go-round at the top of the square gating world, in Victoria in particular, cruising around, will be involved in that merry-go-round in the not-too-distant future.
And you've got another horse that competed.
Misty Cullen.
Competing tonight.
Misty Cullen at Cranbourne, sticking close to home, generally speaking. On Sunday. Now, this is the daughter of a horse called Mr. Ville, slightly before your time, maybe a year or two before you turned up. She didn't have a lot of races, 20-something races for 13 wins, and was a dramatic speed horse with a terrific turn of speed. And we saw that from her daughter, Misty Cullen, last weekend. She also goes around at Cranbourne's night, she'll also be winning. So you're getting part runs of the week here and a part preview of who I'm tipping at Cranbourne tonight, but you've got the three votes. Take it away, Baker.
Full run of the week, three votes, winking it's over at Echuca. This was a bit of a theme at Echuca, and a number of favourites galloping in the run, but this horse did a massive job to not only tack on, but to win the race. It was
sparkling tachyon.
Yeah, phenomenal performance. Winking it's over. I think it's going around on maybe Wednesday at Shepparton.
That 11 race program.
Yes, it will be there, and it might have drawn awkwardly, but it's still in with a chance based on the way it went at Echuca. A massive run on Thursday night.
All right, runs of the wink. Winking it's over. Three, Mr. Cullen. Two, Cruising Around. One, Driver of the Week.
Having a bit of fun with it this week, aren't we, Baker Boy?
Yeah, just one drive, one win, 100% strike rate for his entire career. Paddy Lee, he steered Jillaby Road run around Geelong on Thursday night. And
the youngest in a dynasty of Western District horsemen and women.
He is. Of course, Jason Lee's his older brother, who's been sort of topping the charts or around the mark for the Concession Drivers Premiership.
Glenn and Matty Craven, his cousins.
3 or 4 years, Glenn and Matty Craven. So they dominate out there, and finally decided to take up the reins himself, and he's done the job.
They gave him an easy kill. You know, when one of those high profile TV personalities, they throw them into a very easy winnable seat in politics. That's what it was kind of like, wasn't it? Like,
yeah,
he had a massive majority. They gave him $1.10 chance to live your roadrunner, but he looked very comfortable out there, JT, and we're very proud to give Paddy Lee the Driver of the Week.
Well played. All right, short break coming up here on Talking Trots on RSN 927. The other side will take a good look at Cranbourne tonight.
The Weekend Review, The Weekend Preview. RSN 927 is Talking Trots. It's how we roll. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
Welcome back to the program. Let's take a look at tonight's activities at Cranbourne. Or any announcements, read the meeting going ahead or any changes. Just keep it on RSN 927. We'll announce any of those as the day goes on. First goes at 6:30. Guys, it's an MO. One early scratching here, Jace, number 10.
And it is utterly crucial for my tips during the week. I had 8 on top with Gusto on the proviso that it would follow out the likely leader, Ascot Encounter. That won't happen now. Ascot Encounter will still lead the race, you would have thought, but Arden's Legacy, the pole marker, and Emergency will get that gun roll. With Gusto still in the mix somewhere, I'm going to knock it back to fourth position, as a matter of fact. I'm going with 13 on top, Drayton. This horse has got a lot of ability, has proven in the past. Figure form line before going for a break, not good. 2607S is what you're going to look at it on your form guide, but don't be fooled. This horse has got, as I mentioned, a lot of ability. Kate Hargraves and Alex Ashwood have done a terrific job with the horse since they recruited it. It has trialled in preparation for its return very impressively. It looked a little bit like a machine, to be honest, so I'm happy to have it on top. Then the two interchangeable Bo Tyndale runners. You're a fan of both these horses, I think, Baker, particularly Lanista. I've got I'm Intense on top of Lanista. I just think with the front line draw against the second line draw, luck in running is going to mean everything, but both horses, neither of them have good change-up speed, but both can go all day at a similar bat, and they'll be very well suited by this type of race. And then you're out to With Gusto, who now has to overcome two horses you'd imagine directly in front of it along the poles. But I'll tell you what, if you're going into the sprint lane at Cranbourne and you want to be the second horse in the sprint lane, there is no better track in Australia, because you can fit a Mack truck through that sprint lane. It'll get every conceivable opportunity. It's just a matter of whether those out wide have pinched a march on it. My numbers are 13, 6, 12, and 8. You're going to make a case for Lanista, or are you going to stay out?
I'm going to say field in the early quarter. I'm happy to be involved, but I think almost anything could win.
Okay.
Second race, guys, 4 years and up. C1 over 1609, all starting.
Really, really tricky race here. Market's absolutely crucial, particularly with my top selection here, number 4, Son of a Masterpiece. On its best day, it's a very quick beginner. You would imagine it would find the front here not too long after the start. Our Fabiola, social media, Dangerous Women, they'll all kick up, but Son of a Masterpiece at his quickest would find the front. 1,609 metres, that's as short as the short course journeys get in Victoria, as we know. So you'd imagine,
unless we're going 1,200.
That's correct. Well, 1,150, those novelty races. But you'd imagine if it gets to the front, doesn't have to spend any petrol, and it's ready to roll, all good, but it hasn't trialled in preparation for its return. That's why I'm telling you, be very, very vigilant about checking your markets. If there's any swing against Son of a Masterpiece, or if it's not in the market strongly, Anamai Sub Ignite becomes my top tip in the race. It was terrific last start, second behind the very smart, or the pretty smart Kamani, hunting up along the pegs, taking significant ground off that horse in the final 200 or 300 metres. And then, yeah, it's horses like Our Fabiola, My Masterplan, and Dangerous Women, all who you could put somewhere in your early quaddies, because this is the kind of race that could seriously upend you, although you're running out of options for your early quaddie, Baker. You've got Field in the first leg. You don't want to play too wide.
No, I'm one out. Anamai Sub Ignite,
I think.
Well, you can say it however you like. I'll say it however I want. And
4, 9, 2, and 8 are my numbers.
It won't matter. It'll win.
Third race for the Trotters over 25.75. Standing start, smallish field of 7.
Yeah, again, tricky race. My top tip, I should say, here is off 40 metres. That's very difficult to overcome, but you've got to remember that the standing start trotting races at Cranbourne are longer than at most tracks. This is a 2,575-metre affair, so you get your opportunity, as long as you begin well, to quickly tack onto the field, make that ground up, and turn it into a 2,200-metre race where you really haven't got that much ground to make up. And it did win off 40 metres last time out, I Am I Cry, defeating just 10 trumps. So there's a few things playing in its favour. I'm happy to have it on top. Brandon's Price and Jack of Diamonds have both got to be in the mix somewhere. You were tipping Brandon's Price last weekend, such as your opinion of the horse and the way it's going at the moment, Baker. It was in a stronger race on that occasion. Gets a pole marking draw, generally begins pretty well from the tapes. My Jack of Diamonds, I can just see Lance Justice not accepting any other position but the front position here, and that'll give it every conceivable opportunity. And it's also been in good form, a couple of podium finishes at its last two, and it's not dark. It just loves these sort of conditions. It'll just be poking along in behind them, you would have thought, maybe fourth or fifth in transit. It will enjoy the long trip. It will enjoy it if there's good speed on through the early and middle stages. So once again, spread the net relatively wide, 7, 1, 3, and 4 my numbers.
I'd probably be staggering the early quaddy here and having Brandon's Price, My Jack of Diamonds in the main one, and then the other runners in the saver quaddy.
Fourth event, guys. Last leg of the early quaddy is a trot over 2,080, all starting.
It gets a hell of a lot easier here, and we've already marked our intentions, really. Cruising around, we'll be winning this race if it trots all the way. I've got very little doubt. 2,080 metres, only 6 horses engaged. It's drawn widest on the front line. It will balance up, rip around, find the breeze, and from there, there's a good chance that it would be let go to the front, but I think even if it controls the race from outside the leader, it'll be too good for these, Baker. And there are only 2 horses you need to throw in for second in your exotics. They are numbers 1 and 2, Fiery Mountain Girl and Into the Unknown. Fiery Mountain Girl will lead early, and then potentially, as I've mentioned, hand up to Cruising Around. Either way, lead or trail, it's going to be in a beautiful position. And Into the Unknown has been racing terrifically well. It was a better run than Fiery Mountain Girl last time they met, but it could be cast into that very difficult position of once again carting up the running line division. So you could nearly go 6 into 1 and 2 into 1 and 2 if you want to spread the net a touch wider. You could make a case for both Tiavon's Dream and Desert Fly to be somewhere at the back end of your exotics, but my numbers in race 4 are 6, 2, 1 and 4.
Good first fill race to me.
You'd think so.
I'd play 6 to beat 2. And then 1 and 3 for third and fourth, and hope to get a split with Tiavon's Dream into third.
Okay.
First leg of the normal quaddie, guys, is an M1 over the 2,080, all starting.
Yeah, this is a really, really good race. 4 almost equal winning chances for mine. I'll be very interested to see what the market does here. 1, 3, 7, and 8 are my numbers. Speed map scenario goes like this, in my opinion. Last Flight In can hold the lead from the pole marking draw if it wants to, but I think it will more than happy to cede that position to Vinnie Chase. So Vinnie Chase in front, Last Flight In behind the leader. Van Mara at this level, typically Baker, only knows one way, loves to put significant pressure on and try to outgrind its rivals, so I can see it parked outside of Vinnie Chase. And then Brock's Territory can follow through the poles and really play for luck, or come off the inside and try to beat these horses with speed and class. It's a last start Country Cup winner, so you'd imagine it will be trying to take luck out of the equation. You could even make a case for horses like Animated and Be Good Juddy as well, but I'm basing most of my thoughts around the main 4, and I'm playing for what I think will be a bit of value. Last Flight In to win. I think if there's good pressure applied to Vinnie Chase by Van Mara, that will give Last Flight In the opportunity to use that 5-star deluxe sprint lane at Cranbourne and defeat the leader, Vinnie Chase.
Just hope Brock's Territory doesn't get down and underneath it as well.
Yeah, but I think, as I said, I think it'll probably get off the inside. 1, 3, 7, and 8 are my numbers, and I think Last Flight In's arguably the best value play of the night, but we still await exactly what price we're going
to
get.
There's a part of me that just wants to declare Van Mara here. I think he's the best horse in the race, But
Vinny Chase has been tackling really good horses
of
late.
And that's the problem. Vinny Chase, I even go back to that win at Melton on, what was it, Breeders' Crown? Well, whenever it was.
It was Victoria Cup night.
You know, he is going really well, so I'm not going to absolutely declare Van Mara, but I still think he'll win.
On to race six, guys. Second leg of the quaddy for the C1s over 2080. No scratchings.
I've outplotted my intentions here too in our runs of the week. Misty Cullen, I was just so taken with its win last time, and as I mentioned, it's beautifully bred. I think it's only had 9 starts for 4 wins. Very progressive horse. I'll make the claim now. I think this horse in 12 or 18 months could be tackling very, very high-quality mares races.
Really? C1?
This is a C1 only, so it should be winning. Having said that, small field, it will go back at the start. You can run into trouble in these sort of races, as we know, in both horse racing codes, but I'm still willing to say on pure class and ability and speed, it should swamp these. Nicole Sharp will be improved by 2 runs back from a break. It was second to Misty Cullen and was in front of Misty Cullen when they made their run. So it's hard to see it turning the tables, but I think it goes forward here and tries to create more separation between it and the likely winner. The only other winning hope here is Madison Louise, who was wonderful winning at this track 2 weeks back and then did all the work in the same race as Misty Cullen and Nicole Sharp when 5th last time. And if it finds the front here, it becomes a winning hope again. And Gozo Beach probably can't win the race, but goes into your exotics. 6, 7, 3, and 4 in race 6, Baker.
I think you've probably nailed it, but more interestingly to me, how do you feel about Nicole Shard versus Nicole Shard? What's your opinion?
Nicole Shard for mine.
You were saying Nicole Shard the whole time.
No, I reckon I was saying Nicole Shard. But actually, it doesn't worry me. As long as it runs second, I'll be happy.
Race 7, guys, is the third leg of the quaddie. Fixed odds here with Tab Moonrock's $1.65 and favourite. Carla's Pixel $2.70. Love and a Chevy $6. And that's where the race ends. The other three are not fancied very, very much. Race in 1 or 2, Bonners?
No. Loving a Chevy $6 is staggering to me, to be honest. I'll go through my order quickly. 6, 3, 5 in one of my numbers. I am going with the favourite Moonrock on top. Terrific performance to be a runner-up behind Shadow Sax in the 4 and 5 year old championship last start. Really good horse. 7th in the New Zealand Cup going back about 12 or 13 months. Very, very good horse. But the small field doesn't necessarily help its cause. Tactics early are going to be utterly crucial. I've thrown in Carlos Pixel for second and Love and a Chevy for third, but I've actually marked them $2 Moonrock, $2.80, Carlos Pixel, $3.20, Love and a Chevy. Love and a Chevy is dropping down to an M2 to M4 after dead-heating at free-for-all level last time out, defeating or beating home TCB McRae. If it gets across these at the start and gets the hand up to either Carlos Pixel or Moonrock, it's as good a winning hope as the other two. Do not worry about that. And if you're playing quaddies, they all three go in for mine. So 6 to beat 3 and 5, but they all go in my quaddie. Coldplay Road, I've thrown in for 4th. It's flying at the moment, but I reckon it gets double-crossed, and that probably removes its winning chance, Baker.
Well, if it was a field of 8, I'd say let's unload on Coldplay Road to run a drum. We can't here in a field of 6, but you've mentioned that sprint lane being pretty wide at Cranbourne. If he is 3 poles, it's...
I don't think you run past Love and a Chevy's the problem.
Probably not, but he is airborne. Mm. He's genuinely airborne, so I've definitely got a big watch on Coldplay Road here.
On to race 8, guys, the C2, C3, over 1609, field of 6, no scratchings at this stage.
Macchiato feels like he got to his level quite quickly this preparation. He went on a little killing spree, and he's had every conceivable opportunity at his last couple of starts. I'm giving him one more chance. We've already mentioned you don't get shorter races than 1,609 metres. He will lead from the pole marking draw. I don't see any massive pressure in the race. So what we know about Macchiato is he basically runs 157 every single time he goes around, and I suspect 157 might well be good enough to win this race.
Definitely.
The horse with the speed, if it gets the beautiful run here, the raw snap speed, change-up speed, is Magical Delight. She was disappointing a little bit last time, but was cast into a role she doesn't like. If she's got 1-1 cover here, she's the one who can ping and probably beat Macchiato for speed. So they're the two main ones you want in your main quaddie. But look, I could make a case for any of the rest of these. LTR usually races best in front, but was terrific winning last time. And if it got the right trip here, it would be
had
the mix.
Had a pretty soft run last time.
Yeah, but you know, it never...
233 or 34.
Its course. Previous run, it's at Parkdale and did a massive job. Prior to that, you've got Better Biagi, who, if it makes a left-hand turn at the start, gets the gun opportunity to potentially sprint lane. Macchiato, Bongiorno Boys is flying, and Right About Me is a last start winner. So 6 horses, 6 winning chances, but 1 and 4 my main ones, 1, 5, 2, 1, 4, 5, and 2 my numbers.
It's probably looking outside of the obvious, but I do think better be RG from behind the lead. I know it was only home in the 30 quarter last time, but it did rocket to the line. And
class is just the issue for
me. No doubt, but if it finds that form again and they run the whole way and it gets the sprint lane, I give it a little knockout chance.
And the last guys, who wins?
3, 5, 4, and 7, my numbers here, and I'm super keen here. If you're going to have one bet all night, Baker, you've heard me talking about this all week. Celestial Trekker has had 2 starts for a 3rd and a 6th, and I'll tell you what, I reckon it's a pretty nice horse, and it will be winning this race. 5, 4, and 7 round out my top four. Our Doreen Days, who's got the best figure form line. Rosanna Raider, who's going better than it might appear. And, of course, Man with the Esky, who was a little bit unlucky last time, had to burn early on. 3, 6, 5, 3, 5, 4, and 7, sorry, but I'm very keen Celestial Trekker.
Yeah, I'll take that on board.
Best bet time?
I'm with Anamai Sub Ignis, or Ignai, depending on how we pronounce it. How did you arrive at Ignai, Bond?
From the race callers, I believe. So, it's Latin, so it couldn't be too hard to figure out. You're very keen on the allocution of horses' names at the moment. Celestial Trekker is my best of the night, not because it's the most likely to win, but because we should get a decent price about it. And I reckon we'll look back on this night in maybe 6 months' time and say it was a pretty nice horse in a race it was always going to win.
Where do we get the form, boys?
Goodform.trot.com.au. Fingers crossed this meeting goes ahead, because I am virtually 100% confident we will end up on the right side of the ledger if it does, Baker.
Anamai Sub Ignis means of the fire in
terrific
English.
Wonderful.
Have a good weekend, lads.
Thanks, JT.
Thank you, lads. Well, that's it for a Talking Trots. JT saying good morning to you. If you're out driving in this weather, do take care. Latest in the world of sport with Riley Phelan in just a moment. Then all the latest news on the day at the races in Trainer Talk with Matt Stewart.
You can hear the replay of the best of Talking Trots at rsn.net.au.